The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Critical hit Punch All Nazis takes place in the early days of World War II and combines high adventure with cosmic horror. All dates, locations, and historical events are thrown out the window in order to create a fun story, so don't put too much thought into historical inaccuracies. All accents are done poorly, but with love, and no disrespect is intended. Last time.
The wild-eyed look that's generally in Doc's eye settles down for a moment, and as the door opens, he fires and fires and fires.
Oh, Mr. Cable, checking out so soon?
Hang on.
This is the pub campaign while it lasted.
Plane taxis down the runway, flies off into the night. Dutch, you are sitting at home in the dining room of your palatial estate. The walls of this room are very, very high and are covered with tapestry and thick, dark walnut paneling. You are seated on a very long table that is probably accustomed to having 20, 30 people at a time. It's morning and the light is shining through some very, very high windows in the room. And it's creating these big shafts of light. You know, you can see the dust particles floating through the air. But it does make it very difficult to see. Across from you is your father. And he's in shadow. It's hard to make out his face. And your mother is sitting next to him. Now, Dutch, I've told you before, you need to do what you're told. I'm getting tired of all of this sass talk that you're giving people and the fact that you do not follow directions. It's gotta stop. And he's pounding his fist on the table. And the light is shining down on the table where his fist is. The light is reflecting off of a very, very large ring that he has on his finger. And he just is continuing to chastise you. You disrespect authority. You do not do what you're told. How are you expected to do what we expect you to do and take over this company? And he's just pounding his fist on the table as he's trying to stress each point of his displeasure with you.
Oh, Dutch, why must you always argue with your father? Why can't you just be a good boy and do what your father is asking you to do?
Well, she asked you a question, boy.
How old am I?
I don't know. How old are you now?
Oh, okay. In his 20s.
Okay.
Also,
that's right. He would call you Carlos, but
I was going to ask. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Carlos also slams his hand down on the table. And he says, I don't want to take over a company that's completely funded by blood money. You know what's happening in Poland right now? You guys are feeding that.
Your father leans in and finally his face comes into the light. And you can see under his nose a little Charlie Chaplin mustache. I don't care. We are providing for our family and our family's future. And your mother also leans into the light and her face comes into view. And you can see that she has a black seeping sore on her mouth, running down her neck and onto her arm. And then you wake up.
Good.
Blisko. The corn is as high as an elephant's eye in Nebraska.
God.
You can reach down.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That just got me exactly right.
You can reach down and touch the tops of the corn stalks, the top of the silk, as you are moving over the cornfield. You're flying, but you're doing it without a plane. How's that make you feel?
Well, this is a pleasant dream.
Yeah, you continue to fly over the field. It's green. You see a big water sprinkler going off, watering the fields. You see some people on their tractors harvesting some of the corn so that they can sell it at the roadside stand. They wave up at you as you pass. And then eventually, these fields give way to the steppes of Asia that you remember from your adventure books that you've read. And you continue to float and fly up and up and up. And pretty soon the steppe gives way to rocky hills where you can see humanoid forms below crawling in the darkness. And you continue to climb, finally seeing a monastery at the top of a mountain. And as you fly over, you can see a giant throne. And sitting on the throne is a large figure wearing robes of yellow. And a mask of yellow covers his face.
You should not be here.
You turn and you look. And that ghoul that you have encountered multiple times is flying right along with you. He gnashes your teeth. Bitey, bitey. And you begin to plummet to earth faster and faster. And as the ground gets closer and closer, the humanoid shapes that you saw below reveal themselves to be the ghouls feasting on bodies and body parts among the field of rose bushes. They look up and they scream, "Welcome, brother!" And you wake up. Valentino. You're lost in the fog. You can hear bells in the distance from Notre Dame, but you can't tell what direction that they're coming from. They're ringing madly. The fog is thick and it's hard to see, but you can make out two figures walking in the distance.
Hello? Can you guys help me find my way?
You get closer and you realize that it's Antoine and Pontus, and they're walking together away from you.
Antoine, hey, where are you going? What's happening? Hey, Antoine, hey.
As you try to circle around in front of them to kind of block their path, their backs are always towards you. You can never get in front of them. And they continue to walk away. And then suddenly, gunfire fills the streets. And Nazis flood the streets wearing heavy armored black uniforms and helmets with blue glowing goggles. Creatures like the one that you encountered in Germany emerge from the side streets and are rumbling towards Valentino, Antoine, and Pontus. The Nazis fire guns at you with blue, bright blue, crackling electricity. And you wake up. Doc, you are in a dark tunnel. It's cool and dry, and you're holding a torch, not a British term for a flashlight, but an actual torch. No one else is around, but you can hear some rustling, like some slithering. And suddenly, a big snake appears at your feet and slithers around your legs, wrapping around you. And then a snake drops from the ceiling on your shoulders and starts to encircle your neck. And then a snake rises in front of you from the darkness, large as a man. And all at once, the snakes strike you again and again. You drop the torch, and it slowly starts to go out as you fall to the ground, poison coursing through your body. And as you lay on the ground, a small, slender man with yellow hair and pale blue eyes leans over your body, poking and prodding. And in a soft voice, he says, "Just not fresh enough." And then Clark Gable leans in and says, "Frankly, I don't give a damn. He killed Timmy with his mumbo jumbo homeopathic nonsense. Turmeric and honey. Bah!" And you wake up.
The sun is shining through the windows of a cargo plane that Clark Gable was able to get you on. The area is much more comfortable than the last cargo plane you were on. There are, while it's still a cargo plane, there are some wicker seats that you can sit in. There are some comfortable soft bags that you've been lying on as you've been sleeping. And the pilots, even though they don't speak the same language as you, they seem to be hospitable during the trip. You flew from Paris to Monaco. It was very uneventful, though. Jimmy was not doing well when they landed, and Kimmy had to take him to the hospital. And Lemmy really wanted to fly you guys the rest of the way to Cairo, but Clark Gable needed to ensure that he made it to the next leg of his journey. But he seemed kind of drunk the entire time. In Monaco, you were all able to get a fresh pair of clothes and get a day or two of rest so you can clear all of your stress injuries, but not your scars, Brian. And this time I'm going to make it a little bit more difficult for everybody. Instead of 3 fortune, you will all start this leg of your adventure with 2 fortune, but you will have the opportunity to earn more fortune.
I can earn a fortune?
You can earn fortunes. You can earn fortunes through doing great things that impress your GM. You can earn fortune through basically GM type rewards by doing cool things, doing something outlandish or great. So it just depends. But you can have a maximum starting an adventure, which is what we're doing. You can have up to 3. Although your GM can make that quite a bit less, like what I'm doing here, giving you 2. But at no time can you have more than 5 fortune. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So Clark Gable wasn't able to get you to direct passage to Cairo, but he did pull a few strings and got you on Laoshe cargo plane. This is a Chinese plane, and you guys haven't opened any boxes, but you're pretty sure that somehow Laoshe, this cargo plane, is running guns and munitions from Europe to China. For those of you that may remember, Japan has invaded China, and so being able to get weapons to the Chinese might be of use to them. So that's what this plane is probably doing, you guys have deduced. But you have left Monaco, and after a day or so, you are now on approach to the city of Cairo. And from the air, you can see a very large city. And it is bustling. It is busy. There is a combination of colonial English-type housing, buildings that you can see, as well as what we might consider traditional Egyptian stone and mud buildings as well. And as the plane is touching down, you can see the Great Pyramids pointing to the west and to your destination. You land at the airfield, and in the city, tensions are high. The British have a clear military presence, but the Egyptian forces appear to be trying to control everything. Just in the last couple of years, the king has died and the prince has taken over control of the empire, and he has ordered the British forces to leave and go to the strait there in Egypt. That's kind of where he's told them that they can go and control that waterway. But as tensions in Europe and as this war has started, there's kind of a dual control of Egypt during this time. Cairo is noisy. It's bustling with activity. Ancient streets clash with modern technology as music from radios and record players can be heard, along with sounds of animals and livestock being moved to the market. Culturally, there's a mix between native peoples dressed in loose linen clothing with cloth wrapped around their bodies and around their heads. I believe they're pronounced shemags. There's also a mix of Western and European peoples dressed in the popular fashion, usually from France. The streets twist and turn and loop back and forth upon themselves. And I want everybody to roll a reason plus observation difficulty 2. Brian, 2 successes. 2 successes. Okay. 2 successes from Blisco. Very good. Rodrigo, only one success. One success, but very close to a complication on this one. Complication range is 19 or 20 when you have a difficulty of two. So, Dutch, you are very familiar with Europe. You've traveled around Europe a great deal. You feel very comfortable when you get into cities. But here in Cairo, this is not laid out like any kind of modern city that you've been to. And it's very confusing how things loop around. And Doc also seems to be very lost in the heat and the constant mass of bodies that are just moving around from place to place. You can smell food, delicious food. There's a lot of smell of coffee and tobacco. And of course, there's animal smells as well. Do you remember where you guys are supposed to be going?
Yeah, we need to go to the Cafe of Kings because we're meeting someone there.
Unfortunately, I don't think you know where the Cafe of Kings is. Do you? Does anyone know? Did anybody get directions?
Not immediately, no.
Okay, well, it's kind of clear that Dutch and Doc are maybe kind of confused. Valentino and Blisco seem like, I'm just going to go with the flow. And then, Doc, you feel a little tug on your jacket. And you look down, and there is a small boy. Oh, hello, sirs. It looks like you may be lost. I can guide you where you need to go. For just a small amount of money. Only one monies.
One whole monies?
One whole monies is all that this young boy is asking to guide you.
Okay. I had a scary dream and a child is trying to scam me.
No, he's not trying to scam you. He's like, oh, you look lost. Only one monies and I can take you where you want to go. One monies.
I do not
speak in English.
Yes. It's kind of broken English.
Sure. Sure.
Are you American or British?
I do not.
Only one monies.
Definitely one of those.
Dutch will take out one money.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Where are you going?
We're looking for a place called the Cafe of Kings.
Oh, yes. I know it well. I know it well. Come. And he's, you know, grabs you by the hand and starts pulling you along. And is everybody else following Dutch?
Yeah, follow, but keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Welcome to Egypt. Welcome to Cairo, my favorite city in the whole world. This is a wonderful place. How long are you staying?
We don't know yet.
Oh, well, let me, Ahmed, be your guide. You want to see the pyramids? I can take you to the pyramids.
Well, Ahmed, we have someone we need to meet here, but if you come back later, maybe we can talk about it.
Oh, yes, yes. Come. I'll make sure that you don't end up in the bad parts of town. And as he's leading you through the crowds, you're bumping into people, you're, you know, passing stalls where people have their wares out. One stall might have some pottery. Another stall might be serving some kind of a meat. Another stall might be offering up some kind of fruit or drink. So all of these smells are coming around you. And as you're walking down and going through these twisting alleys and everything, you notice on the walls that, yeah, there's some graffiti, but there's also a lot of posters that people have pasted up onto the wall. Some of them have been torn down. Some of them are, you know, in support of the Egyptian government. Others are, you know, very pro-British. Some are advertising coffee or cigarettes. But you also start to see an abundance of posters advertising for the great Nate O. And these are big posters. They're very pristine and very clean, like they've just been put up recently. Come see the great, the fantastic, the great Nate O, magician of the world. He is a prophet. He will tell you all. He sees the future. You will be spellbound and mesmerized by everything that he has to offer. Come see the great Nate O now. And the poster is just covered with all these like mystical symbols and drawings all over it. And in the center is a giant like crystal ball that's glowing. And there are a pair, you know, behind it. You see some fingers kind of reaching around the crystal ball, and you see a dark face with some eyes peering out over the crystal ball.
are the symbols anything we'd recognize?
Ooh, very good. Roll an observation plus insight, D1. Okay.
Is that an all of us thing?
Anybody who wants to may.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay, aha. So Glisco has got a success, two successes. So you get one momentum. Brian has two successes, so you get an extra momentum.
And I also got two successes.
And Rodrigo has two successes, which gets you three momentum. One success. So you do not.
Two successes.
Oh, two successes. That's right. And you all only needed one success anyway. So that takes all of your momentums up to four. And sure enough, on that poster, you can see a symbol of the luminaries. But you also see a symbol for the Rosicrucians. You also see a pyramid with an eye in it. You also see a bunch of other things. But the luminary symbol is in there. And there are like 10 of these posters all pasted along the wall. And as you guys are walking by, it looks like the eyes are following you. Now I need everybody to give me a will plus resilience difficulty one.
Keep making these rolls slightly worse for me.
And slightly better for me.
Hooray!
Oh, no.
So Matthew got another success. He got two successes. Except for Brian.
Yeah.
Brian did not get any successes. Everybody else got at least one success. Ooh, ouch. Take one mental stress, please.
Ah, okay.
Oh, hang on. Wait a minute. Can I buy another die for this?
You only need one success, but yeah, if you want to.
Could get me a momentum or a complication.
Sure.
Nope. I will get a momentum.
Okay. Yeah, so the momentum.
I got a talent now.
Oh, right. Role. What is your talent?
Whenever you attempt a skill test to resist being intimidated or threatened or to resist fear and panic, I guess it might not have been fear or panic.
It's the same. I mean, this would be it.
Filler. It's like a spooky thing is happening. Yeah. So I can buy a D20 for zero momentum, basically.
Okay. Oh, so zero momentum. Okay. So then that means that you do get six momentum. Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very cool. All right. Ahmed notices that you're all looking at this poster. Oh, have you seen the great Nate O?
Seen him. He was paying my checks for like 6 months.
Oh, you must be so lucky. I really long to see the great Nate O. Everyone talks about his performances and how good he is. Ah, I'm trying to save up my money so that I can maybe soon go and see the great Nato's performance. If you want, I can go and see if I can get you tickets to the great Nato's performance.
Well, let's hold on to that.
Okay. Come this way. Ahmed leads you around a corner and you step into a courtyard, and behind you, crates and barrels fall to block your escape. Ahmed shimmies up a drain pipe to the top of the building. As five bulky men wearing all black emerge from the shadows, brandishing knives and swords, one man wearing a red head wrap steps forward. His fingers are dyed a brilliant blue. Ah, Ahmed, you've brought us those who wish to make an offering to our order. Outsiders, give us your money to the Order of the Crystal Skull, and we may let you live.
I think I'm going to kind of reach my jacket, pull out my pistol and go, do y'all really want to bring swords to a gunfight?
they attack. So it sounded like, Brian, you were going to go first.
Sure.
So, Valentino, you pull out your gun and you're surrounded by ruffians.
I think I'll go ahead and just shoot at the red hood guy in front of me.
All right. You may do this. This is a D2.
All right.
So that will be your coordination. Let's see. You're doing range. So yeah, coordination and fighting.
All right. Hey, I actually got a point in fighting now.
Ooh-hoo. Schmancy.
That's the 9. Well, let's see if this is enough. No.
Zero successes. Oof. Your shot goes wild. You shoot a pot up on a ledge on the second floor, and you hear somebody inside scream something.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Yes.
Or warning.
The person leaps from the shadows and springs toward Doc and attacks him. I'm going to spend a bit of threat here. Okay, he succeeds in attacking you with his brass knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
So he stuns you, and you are not able to move. He clocks you inside the head with his brass knuckles, and you are stunned. You see the little Tweety birds fly around your head. Now, Doc, you because you're stunned, you do not have the ability to do anything this turn, which then brings us to the man wearing purple. He is going to pull out his saber, and he's going to rush over to Dutch, brandishing his saber. And melee weapons are not hand-to-hand combat.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because I think it has to be hand-to-hand for that. But he is going to swing at you. He swings and it swings wide.
Yeah.
Who would like to go next? Lisko or Dutch?
Dutch is going to can I run somewhere else in the room?
Sure. Yeah, you can run. So you can't go back where you're at. You can get over to here and down. And then here, basically, this area is all blocked, and this area is all blocked.
Okay. Well, Dutch will try to, run back here and use, this little protrusion from the building as cover. And then shoot back at the, probably whoever's closest, so the green one.
The green man?
Yeah. And I'll take a momentum. Let's make it.
Okay. 20. Sure.
Two successes.
Three successes, because you're trying to be less than 13.
Successes.
Three
yep.
successes. Yep. So you get that momentum back. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Okay. How much is that?
Yeah, I mean, it should be six, I think.
Should it be six?
Two, one, right. One, and
okay.
Effect, so.
Oh, yeah. Double. Yep. Yep, six. So you that guy out. He doesn't even get a turn.
Excellent.
He doesn't deserve a turn.
The red man is going to pull out a very large saber, and he is going to step up and take a swing with a threat at Valentino. Ooh, two successes on that, so he does succeed.
Oh, no.
And unfortunately, the saber, one, two, and piercing, so if you have any armor, one of them does go through, but you take two physical damage on that. And then it is Bug Eater's turn.
Oh, boy. I'm going to step back and take a shot at the blue one.
Okay.
Lean back.
Yeah, you really can't. I mean, you can lean back, but you can't step back. You're right there at that block.
Oh, am I just kind of stuck in a corner?
Yeah, you're stuck in the corner.
Great. But yeah, I'll lean back and take a shot at the blue one, assuming I can get line of sight on him.
The blue one, sure.
Troubles. Get him.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of momentum. I would like to spend a momentum on this.
All right.
And get
four successes.
Nice.
Okay, so roll some damage on that. 1, 2, 5 damage. So this guy takes an injury, but he is still standing.
Oh, man.
This one runs across after being shot in the leg, and he seems very fanatic in his motions. And he comes with his saber, and he is going to try to stab Doc right in the chest. And he is also going to use one of the threat for success. And one piercing, so you will need to take one damage. One physical damage.
You need to get some armor.
Probably.
I mean, literally wouldn't matter because he was dealing piercing damage.
Yes. We have finished that round of combat. We are starting at the top of the round. Who would like to go first?
I would like to shoot the man who initially hurt me.
Okay, you may.
I may?
Your stun wears off.
Okay. I aim my gun at his face.
Okay.
And I get two successes. Because once again, I don't know what a greater than sign is.
Yeah, so roll that again with the correct symbol.
All right, but I've
had two failures. You've been clocked. You got clocked in the head, so everything's turned around for you.
That's hurtful.
Only one success. Yeah.
Kill GM.
again, that bullet goes wide.
Mm. Makes sense. Right. I am dizzy.
Yes, you are dizzy. But the yellow guy is going to take another punch at you, also using another threat. And let me double check something. What's that?
These guys are rude.
Yes, they are. Two successes. So he's going to punch you again for 3 physical damage.
Wait, how many have I got?
I don't know. You're the one that's marking off your damage track.
Yeah, that's going to put me to 5. I feel like I only have like 10.
Yeah. Mm. You could give them money.
Sounds dangerous.
Yep. All right. Who would like to go next?
I'll go next.
All right, Dutch.
I will try to shoot the purple one.
Okay. He's the one that's closest to you.
Yeah. So I'll aim and then take a shot, and I will eat 1 momentum, if that's all right.
Okay.
For 3d20, for only 1 success.
Ooh, only 1 success. Let's see. You got aim, so you can re-roll one of those.
Yeah, let me re-roll one of those.
You could re-roll the 9 if you like.
That was... No. I'm going to re-roll one of the 2 19s I got.
Okay. There you go, for a success. You may do some damage onto the purple man.
I forgot to declare.
I mean, they all got blue fingers, so...
Yeah. I forgot to declare a volley. Actually forgot also that I deal 1 extra die of success or of damage, because I'm good at this.
Yeah.
4.
4 damage on the purple man. He takes that in the shoulder, but is still standing.
Okay.
But he doesn't like that.
I tell him that's what he gets. I just wanted to go to a coffee shop.
He screams at you in a language that you don't understand, but you can tell, because you're a polyglot, that he is very angry at you. He raises his saber and comes running up to you and takes a mighty swing.
Does
he misses. His shoulder is sore, is very sore, and so he's not able to focus on hitting you with that saber.
Okay, good.
Who would like to go next?
I'd like to maybe try to finish off the blue guy.
Okay.
Can I aim and shoot in melee, or?
You can't aim and shoot and melee. You can do either punch him in the face, or you can shoot him
in melee.
Yeah.
So you are using a pistol. So that's a close range weapon.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Yeah. I will try that. Where's that? 6 momentum. I'll burn. Let's just do 1 and see how this goes.
You're going to use a momentum. Okay.
Yeah.
2 successes. Very good. Roll some damage on this guy.
4 or 5 damage.
5 damage. He goes down.
Alrighty.
Above you from one of the windows, you hear a woman scream. Ah! It's hard to tell, but you can tell. It's hard to tell what she's saying, but you can tell she is frightened at the assault that is going on downstairs. And you can hear her running away from the window, screaming for help, police, more of these thugs coming to beat you up. It's hard to tell, but she's has screamed an alert out to somebody. The leader of the cult takes a couple of steps back away from all of you, and he pulls out his own pistol and he fires it at, I guess, you, Valentino, since you're right in front of him. He knows that there's trouble ahead. Oh, and he misses.
Yes.
So that brings us up to Blisko.
The one in the red hood's the leader, right?
Yeah, he's the leader.
And he just fired on us?
Yeah, he just fired on you, and it went really wide, and because he was backing up, he kind of tripped a little bit on, I don't know, a basket. I mean, this is kind of like a courtyard area for the houses that are surrounding this courtyard. So he trips a little bit on a basket, and as he starts to slip a little bit, which causes his shot to go wild, you see from underneath his cloth that's wrapped around his head, a necklace drops out and is dangling around his neck. It's a little hard to see from where you're at, but it looks like the face of some scary thing, you know, roaring. The mouth is agape, and embedded in the mouth is a small blue crystal, which seems to shimmer at you as he stares at you, kind of almost taunting you, like, yeah, I missed. So what? What are you going to do?
Shoot you in the face?
You can try.
All right.
Good answer. Good answer.
Not a called shot. I'm going to use a momentum.
Okay.
Big money, no
is
whammies.
Aim just something we all have access to?
I think everybody has access to aim.
Haven't been using?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going
to
aim.
But it is something that you have to call before you roll your dice.
Yeah, I'm going to aim.
Oh, I thought that was like a power.
No, I believe it is a, everybody has that option.
Anybody can aim.
If you look on your cheat sheets, one of them talks about minor actions in conflict. And one of them is aim.
Okay. I guess it's use that instead of moving. Cool. Yeah, I'm going to aim.
Okay. I'm going to increase. I'm going to be mean and increase this. You've already rolled it. Okay. You've got three successes, but you also have a complication.
That I do.
Here is the complication.
Can you re-roll that?
Oh, yeah.
It's still the complication is still going to stick around. That's the unfortunate side, even with aim.
Well, that's
is that you can re-roll that. It's still going to be a complication.
All right. I'm still going to re-roll that D20.
Okay. Just to see if you get another success.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. Might as well. Right.
I can get one or two more momentum for us.
Okay.
I did not.
No successes. Okay. So you pull out the gun and you aim at the leader of this group of thieves, and you're really not paying attention. And one of the things that you should have learned in boot camp is that you don't fire a gun next to somebody's head. And unfortunately, Valentino, that blast is so loud that you are now partially deaf in your right ear.
Ah.
Shouldn't have come in with a pretty character. Steven's going to make sure you're completely deformed by the time.
It's not me. It's not me. Let's see. Who has not gone yet? I think that's the end of the round, correct?
I believe so.
All right. Top of the round. Who would like to go next?
I didn't roll damage.
Oh yeah, go ahead and roll damage. Who are you? Who did you aim at? The man in red?
The leader.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and roll damage. One, two, three, four. You got you have vicious on that effect, right?
Oh yeah. So I do.
He would have to.
I would have to prepare a salvo or
a salvo. Yeah, to use that vicious.
Okay. He is still standing. All right. Now we're at the top of the round.
I will. Step back, steady my aim, and shoot the guy directly in front of me.
Okay.
And I will take a momentum.
All right.
No
zero successes. You are pinned right up against the wall of this building.
If I reroll one of them and get one success, does that do anything?
You can, if you roll a one, that would be
I guess
successes.
I could potentially roll a one. Okay, so here's hoping for probably a complication.
Okay. Just one success. No, that shot goes wild. The bullet ricochets off the stonework of the building, and a pot from a window ledge above comes crashing down into the courtyard.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's, okay. But the man in purple is going to take another swing at you and misses again. His shoulder really aches. He's going to need to put some icy hot on that later. Who is next?
I will go.
All right.
So for the benefit of the people listening at home and or Mr. Kite,
there's a man standing right next to you with a brass knuckles, and he's probably going to pop you in the head again.
Well, what if I kill him?
Well, you can try.
So what do I do when I aim? What is the actual process of aiming? Do I just say, I would like to aim?
I aim at the target and I pull my trigger.
I aim at the target and I pull my trigger. And because I am very, very angry and disoriented, I'm having to super focus. So I would like to pull some of the momentum from the momentum pool.
Okay.
Sure.
I would like to pull two momentum.
Two momentum?
Will that work or no?
Two momentum would need do to anything. Spend three momentum to get two, add dice. Two dice.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So I can pull a momentum, get an extra dice.
Are you doing one or are you doing two?
Let's do one. Because I feel like at this point, three momentum out of five when we still have three foes does not seem like a fair thing since other people are actually able to fight. So I am aiming at this man right in my face.
Roll three dice.
And I'm going to make sure that if I miss him, the gun is right near his ear. So he's also deaf.
Three successes. One, two, three successes. Very good. So you get one of those back and you may roll some damage.
Excellent. My pistol is five damage dice, right?
No, it is only four.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure. Isn't that what
most
everybody
of the
else
pistols
has been, right?
Are four.
Yep. Yeah. Mine, like, I do five because I have an insight bonus.
I thought I had, like, a really shiny pistol.
So if Hang your on. Insight no, is
the
nine,
only other thing that would help
I
you.
I do have an insight bonus.
Okay. So, yeah,
insight of five. Nine yep. with a plus one bonus. So I should do five.
Yep. So you'd be five.
Yep.
Way cool. Ha ha! I knew something about the game.
Oh.
One, two. Yep. You aimed at that guy in yellow, and you shot him good right in the head. The back part of his brains explodes all over the wall and starts to run down in a gloppy, gloppy mess. You are somewhat fascinated by this.
Teach him to punch me in the head.
Yeah, you are more fascinated by the blood and brains running down the wall.
Looks like SpaghettiOs, you guys.
The man in red, having seen you blow up his comrade, will take aim at you, spending some threat. Because now he's very angry. And, oh man, his shot goes wide, too, and completely misses you. Which leaves, who's next?
Me?
Let's go. Go for it.
Yeah. So is the guy on dock over there and then the leader?
The only ones that are still alive are the one that is apparently trying to threaten Dutch. Not very well, apparently. And then the leader.
Yeah, I'll fire on the lead. I'll aim and fire on the leader again. I'll use a momentum again.
Two successes. You may roll some damage.
So insight should bonus damage on insight should add to this?
Yeah, I know it's weird, right?
It's weird on how that works. So if your insight is nine, you get a plus one.
Yeah, so you get an extra damage die. Okay. Brian gets two damage die.
I should be rolling five dice instead of four.
Yeah. And who did you shoot at? The leader?
The leader.
Yep, you take him down, and he screams something as he falls, the necklace dangling off his neck onto the ground. All right, the final lone person, knowing that he has failed his god and failed the rest of his team, decides to take one more stab at Dutch. Ooh, barely a success. And he does zero damage. He is so weak that he pokes you, and it's just like you must be wearing on a jacket that has got an extra thick fiber, and it just does do nothing to you. You take zero damage. Who is left? Valentino.
Yes. Go over and...
Yeah, you can rush over and do something to him. You're going to punch him in the back of the head?
Can I, like, grab him to make him easier for Doc to... Or not
sure.
Doc.
So that would be... what you would want to do in this case, if you're trying to grapple him, that will be a... He will fight you back on that. On a successful grapple, though, you will hold him, and we can use that to reduce the difficulty of anyone taking attack against him. Maybe Dutch will reduce that difficulty by one.
Okay.
So you'll need to rush over there and grab him, and he will try to fight back.
Anyway, I can't.
I will use my last threat.
So what am I rolling here?
You are rolling hand-to-hand combat, so that is... agility plus fighting, and you need two successes on this. Okay.
Nope, nothing.
Zero successes. Yeah, he has two successes, so you are unable to grapple him. He pushes you down, and you two stumble over just the bits of debris and other, you know, bricks that have fallen off the building over the years. Some kid's toy is in the courtyard. You also stumble over that.
I see.
And what are we at? At the top of the round again? That's everybody, right? He's the only man standing, so he'll try one more time. Nope, he misses. He takes a swing and a miss at you, Dutch.
Swing and a miss.
Yes. Would you like to finish him off?
Yeah. Like, we don't suspect that these guys, like, these guys specifically went, like, give me your money, right?
Oh, yeah. They wanted money for their Order of the Crystal Skull.
Okay. yeah, Dutch is just going to... Since this guy, like, I don't know, I feel like he's had some opportunities to run away and he's still hacking at him.
Yeah, these guys are pretty fanatic.
Yeah, Dutch is just going to, like, shoot him in the stomach.
Okay.
Oh.
I'll grab a momentum.
Okay.
And since I'm going to get to reload, I'll make this vicious.
Okay.
One success, and I didn't declare an aim, so.
I'll let you take an aim so this fight doesn't go on forever.
Okay.
Nice. Two successes.
I was definitely expecting a 20 there. I don't want this fight going forever. Things get worse. Oh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Things are about to get worse. Yeah, you definitely take him out. You shoot him in the stomach and just blood and his intestines come out and just cover your face with his blood as he grabs you and he just looks at you wide in the eyes and just continues to stare at you as he falls down to the ground. Dead. We have exited combat. The crates and the barrels get shoved aside, and there are Egyptian police officers and British police officers there telling everyone to hold it, stop what you're doing. And they all have weapons drawn upon you.
Yeah, I'll put my hands up.
Yeah. Okay. Same. They rush in, they shove past you, they're pointing guns at you. One of the British officers comes strolling in. What's going on here?
Oh, we were ambushed by these
brigands.
Yeah, brigands.
Brigands. That's an American. Yes. And he goes over and he starts kicking at the bodies, kind of turning them over. He gets to the one with the red turban and kicks him over, and he notices the necklace and he picks this up. You know anything about this?
They said they were in a cult of some kind, the Crystal Skull. I don't know if that has anything to do with that.
And then, one of the Egyptian police officers comes over and says something into the brigadier's ear. Yes. Apparently there's a large number of, as you say, brigands, running around, parts of Cairo. Why are you in this neighborhood in particular?
We were led here by a kid who offered to take us where we were going.
And where were you going?
We were going to the Cafe of Kings.
That is on the other side of town. You are new here, I take it then.
I mean, very observant.
Very well. We need to go and file reports. And so he marches you... Everybody off, puts you in a wagon and takes you all off to the local constabulary. Critical Hit Punch Hall Nazis is a production of Major Spoilers Entertainment and was produced and edited by me, Steven Schleicher. If you would like to get a behind-the-scenes making of this episode, be sure to check out the GM Roundtable Octoon Cthulhu Edition at our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers. Each week I discuss my plans for the upcoming game session, and Dr. Brad Will is there to share his reactions and advice on how to be a better game master. I will warn you, though, there are spoilers galore in every installment of the GM Roundtable Octoon Cthulhu edition. So, if you don't like spoilers and don't want to know what I am planning next, don't listen to these episodes. Though, I will say... If you do listen, you'll be able to see how and where the players throw a wrench into my plans, And you're also going to have greater insight into the world that's being built into this campaign. You did hear the name The Great NATO this week. We'll have more on him in an upcoming episode, along with some other fine patrons who are getting named as NPCs. You want your name to appear as one of these NPCs in future episodes? All you need to do is become an associate producer at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Finally, we want you to record yourself doing your best on Critical Hit and send it to us at podcast@majorspoilers.com, and your voice will join the growing chorus of fans in upcoming episodes as well. Thank you again for listening this week, and here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2023 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.